In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
And foils Atletis park the bus plan, and Luis Diaz piles more pain on his old foes, Benfica. I'm LME, JJ is here, James Bench will be joining us shortly from the City of Manchester Stadium as we break down Tuesday's Champions League quarterfinal action. We want your comments, we want your questions throughout the entire episode. Please throw them our way. Giggle Lasso begins right now. Congratulations, John Torres, on finishing first in the Giggle Lasso March Madness bracket. To recognize your basketball predicting brilliance, we are awarding you with a $100 Paramount Plus gift card, John Torres. Our producer, Des Norris, will email you with all the details on how to redeem your prize. And everybody, we want your questions for today as part of our Champions League recap. Very quickly, JJ, my friend, how are you? And a reminder, you are muted, my friend. So there you go. Jonathan Johnson, how are you, buddy?
Yeah, doing well. Thanks. Digesting that late show from Liverpool, which has put them up against Benfica. But otherwise good and enjoyed the midweek slate of games so far.
I love it. Good to have you here, Jonathan Johnson. And introducing, of course, from the City of Manchester Stadium at the Etihad, James Bench. It might be a little bit loud for everybody, but James, always good to have you on location. James Bench, how are you, my friend? And talk to us about what you just witnessed as Manchester City just about evaded not just one bus, but about a million buses in order to get that goal. How did you see it, James Bench?
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's been a while since I've watched paint dry. So a joy to be here to see it. It was a very strange game where I think for a long time you just have to kind of convince yourself that this was enjoyable and that it was interesting and that you were getting something from it beyond watching a training exercise. And I think it was quite interesting kind of seeing, particularly like kind of, you know, on social media and everything, the sort of view forming that this felt like a Diego Simeone masterclass all over again. And I was just sort of sat here going, well, at some stage, you know, if you kind of want to win a football match, you need to touch the ball in the penalty area and kick it at the goal and do all those sorts of things. And I don't think Atleti were really too bothered about doing that. Ended the game with no shots, ended the game just dreadfully. And I thought we were incredibly lucky to get away with a 1-0 defeat. You just can't play football like this in the Champions League and expect to win.
Jump in, JJ, your thoughts on the game as James Bench is there. Ask him a question if you wish, because from watching almost James Bench, I thought that exactly so, and I was a little disappointed because there is such a fine thing as like two opposing philosophies going against each other. In fact, the Bayern Munich game, when Pep Guardiola was managing Bayern Munich in 2016, you saw at the very least a little bit more grit and a little bit more gambling. This one, it seemed, to your point, zero shots, zero on target, less than 30% possession. I'm sure it was way less than that. I mean, Man City, you know, tripled the amount of passes that Atleti had. But James, from the stadium, did you see... was it worse, basically? Because it really seemed like, at the very least, there was no creativity.
From City, I thought there kind of was. I thought there were a lot of moments that were like, it's creativity that doesn't quite transfer into shots, doesn't really transfer into like game-changing moments, but it's just pressure. And it's pressure that any sort of Atleti can't quite deal with. Any team really can't deal with for 90 minutes. And you did know, it was sort of like, you'd look down into the bench and sort of see, oh, look, there's Jack Grealish, there's Phil Foden, there's Gabriel Jesus. Like, the cavalry was there waiting. And as much as you do have these moments where everything you know about Guardiola in the Champions League kind of moves your mind and you think, this is going to happen again, I think for more of it, you were just sat there thinking, well, even the best Atletico Madrid team, the ultimate pure defensive Diego Godin, that Atletico Madrid team, I don't think they could just cope with having so little of the ball having so little energy and having their team do so little to ease the pressure on them. I never thought it was going to last.
Sorry about that. Had a bit of background noise of my own. I think when I was thinking about this City Atletico game, to me, the ideal score for Simeone was always going to be come away with a 0-0, keep it alive for that second leg, go back to Madrid and try and get a narrow win. I don't think there was ever really any question that Atleti would be able to outscore City over the two legs. It would be limiting City's attack and stopping them from doing that. So I guess if that was his game plan, it almost worked until the defense was unpicked in the second half. But I mean, it's really difficult now, I think, to see Atleti, sort of coming into a game against City in Madrid where they can score more than once. Okay, one goal will take it to extra time or take it beyond 180 minutes. But for me, I don't see Atleti now being able to win this, after 180 minutes. I think at the sort of best case scenario for them, they take this to extra time and it perhaps goes a bit further from there. But it's difficult not to see City, going there and at least scoring once as well. So for me, I think, Atleti's kind of plan for these two legs has now been thrown into a bit of disarray. And it'll be interesting to see how Simeone reacts to that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I thought, James, on paper, 1-0, back to 1-0 Metropolitano, it's not bad against Man City, right? But, to JJ's point, you're going to have to do more, Diego Simeone, at some point during the course of 90 minutes in the second leg to your point at the beginning, to try and kick it at the back of the net and do something. Do you see, in the end, Man City coming out victorious in the second leg, or is there a chance for the Wanda Metropolitano faithful to like get behind Atleti and Atleti do something here?
I mean, I would say there's always a chance, but that's what we're talking in the realms of, like, I think what we all forget about this, the Atletico Bayern game and other moments like that, is you're kind of reliant on lightning striking the same person twice. If you play these games 100 times. I mean, if you play this game 100 times, Atletico Madrid won't score because they didn't have a shot. But if you play most of these games 100 times, Atletico win what, 5 times? This is not an approach that is, generates winning football at the highest level. Like, I think we all kind of do get a bit confused and we fall into the narrative traps, and I'm as guilty as anyone of doing that. I just think, and they are, as we said, they're going to have to take risks. And in taking risks, they will open up space and, they are there to be got at. The defence didn't look incredible. Oblak has his weak moments. I thought it was quite poor, really, for the initial De Bruyne free kick, even though he cleared it quite well. So you have to assume that City will score in the Wanda Metropolitana. And I know that the absence of away goals maybe makes it a little easier for Simeone because you don't then have to score 3. But, City could score 2.
Yeah, easily. let's not forget too that team against Bayern Munich in 2016 is way better than the one that faced Man City today. A few balanced, unbalanced, mixed comments from everybody. Valentina, I don't see a chance for Atletico. Now they have to attack, and now the defense will be open, and Man City will finish the job. All right, final thoughts, James Bench, before we say goodbye, so then JJ and I can take over regarding Benfica, Liverpool, and much more. Any final thoughts, buddy?
I mean, Phil Foden, I know we've kind of briefly mentioned, but how wonderful. I think it does kind of... I was quite suspicious that he'd make a great impact on this game because I always felt he's someone that will really excel playing in behind. But this was, a great moment of get the ball to his feet, commit defenders, beat them. I mean, it's not an announce himself moment, a coming of age moment, because we've known he's outstanding, not just for his age, but at any age. We've known all that for a long time. But it is doing it on this high stage, it's fantastic for England, fantastic for City, fantastic for the Premier League, and I'm sure fantastic for the people of Stockport.
Yeah, absolutely. Elevating his game. And as you mentioned, fantastic for England indeed. All right, James Bench, thank you so much, buddy. Get home safe, James Bench. Make sure to follow his content on Twitter and read his reports later on CBS Sports as well. Bye, James. Thank you, buddy. Thanks so much. Get home safe. All right, that's James leaving. All right, let's carry on this Phil Foden chat, everybody, and Jonathan Johnson. What do you make of Phil Foden, everybody, if you're a Man City fan? the development of Phil Foden. As James Bain said, JJ, you know, we've known for a while Foden is a player, but I am beginning to see now that next step. How high is his ceiling? How good is it for England? And how much can this take Man City all the way to the final?
It's huge for England. Obviously, it's very pleasing to see as an Englishman, when your current internationals perform to that kind of standard. And I think it speaks volumes as well that many of us were surprised that he was omitted from the starting 11. I mean, I say surprised, we were kind of semi-surprised because we know that Pep Guardiola is always going to, you know, do some sort of tinkering in these games. You know, the temptation to overthink has been well documented, over the years. But, I think Foden, in this example, in this match, was actually exactly what City needed because, you know, it was him who helped spark, the opportunity that unpicked that Atleti defence. And, you know, it's potentially a tie decider because, as we were saying earlier, none of us really fancy Atleti scoring even more than once in Madrid, just given sort of how stale these Simeone tactics are. And I think, for Foden, coming up in a big week for City, a lot of important matches at this point of the season, he'll be feeling confident going into that second leg as well. Wouldn't surprise me to see him start, but to have him sort of playing at this level at this moment in time is fantastic, both for City and for England. And, obviously the only person it's perhaps not as fantastic for is our good friend Jack Grealish, who, sort of finds himself on the outside looking in still at City, despite his Gucci sponsorship that people have been raving about these last couple of days. So, yeah. No, Foden, I mean, it's really great when you see these super rich clubs, still bringing through domestic talent, like Foden, and, just fingers crossed his development can continue. And we have, arguably one of the big stars of the English national team set up, for at least the next decade, who's already sort of at that established level where he's, I wouldn't say necessarily the finished product, because obviously there's areas of his game that he can still develop, but, he is close to being, one of the best in the world when you're talking about that position.
Yeah, per your comments on the contract, the Grealish and Gucci, it seems that Angel Correa is more of a Louis Vuitton man. I don't think he enjoyed that attack. That was pretty interesting to watch. Here's a call to action for everybody, especially if you're an England fan, Man City, and this is pretty scary, actually. And JJ, I'll throw it to you for a second very quickly before we move on. Phil Foden, Jack Grealish, Raheem Sterling. Who's most valuable to England, do you think?
All of them but Grealish. I'd probably say Foden in that kind of form, Sterling, and then Grealish afterwards. No, I mean, it's not digging Grealish out because he's a former Villa player who chose to move to City. It's just a genuine point at this moment in time. This season hasn't gone the way that he would have hoped. I mean, the debut season with a club like City is always going to be difficult. But for me, I don't see him, being sort of the fixture for England. Many people expected him to be by moving on from Villa just yet. Obviously, injuries have played their part, and I'd say it's probably quite concerning the fact that the injury issues he had at Villa have still followed him to Manchester. Hopefully he can put them behind him at some point. But at this moment in time, he's, kind of a great luxury substitute to have to bring on to potentially change the course of a game for the last 20, 25 minutes, maybe half an hour. But he's not really close to that England starting 11 at this moment in time. And he's really going to need, another season, maybe even two at City, being one of their real high performers before he can be talked about as, somebody who's potentially as important, certainly for club and country, as Sterling is. And obviously Sterling's even had his issues with Guardiola over the last season or so, hasn't been getting as many minutes as he's been used to in the past. So, for me, I think it's Foden by a fairly decent distance at this moment in time.
I agree. And partly it's because I feel that Raheem Sterling, unbelievable player. Jack Grealish, obviously on his day, we know as Villa fans how good he can be. And to your point, after that first season with City, I'm sure he'll grow even more into it. But Phil Foden is able to capitalize on all three positions up front. He's so good centrally. He can go wide. He can even act as that striker. You know, he's so, so good. And today, the goal was a perfect example, evading three players, not making and just seeing Kevin De Bruyne for the goal. So I'm with you on that one. Milo Rad, Liverpool finished the job today and they can be relaxed for the weekend game against City. City will be under pressure. That's a very good point there regarding just how both coaches, JJ, can see this very important game on Sunday as Liverpool travel to Manchester City. I wonder if these results from today, JJ, make any difference on how they're going to look at this game on Sunday.
To be honest, I don't think that this result or these results today, make a huge difference because both managers know that this is a huge game anyway. They've had it marked off in their calendars for a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were speaking about it on podcasts months ago where, you know, sort of the gap between the teams was, it was giving a little bit of a false position of the title race. It was making it seem like City were miles and miles ahead when in reality, if Liverpool picked up maximum points, which ultimately they were able to do, they're always going to be able to close that gap. Now we see, the reality of the table with Liverpool just behind City. And it was always going to come down to this match, you know, to potentially decide the title. And although it won't be decided on the day with regards to who wins or who loses, you know, it's going to go a long way to deciding, you know, who is going to have the advantage in the home stretch in this title campaign. To think that sort of City are a bit under a little bit more pressure, I suppose perhaps a tiny little bit more because they're the point ahead. They're the leaders, they're the defending champions as well. But really, I think it's a massive opportunity as well for both sides. So I'd say if there is any pressure, it's probably good pressure because they know that really at the end of the day, this is a huge opportunity for both sides to strike a massive blow in this title race and perhaps rest back some of the control over proceedings from here on out.
Yeah, let's not forget, by the way, that even though it's 3-1 to Liverpool, it's still just a 2-goal margin. And, you know, these things can change big time. We're getting some new viewers. Our audience is growing in this episode. So welcome, everybody. Please like, please subscribe to our channel, and please make a comment on what you thought from today. We're just wrapping up Manchester City winning 1-0 against Atletico de Madrid and thinking what the outcome will be at the Wanda Metropolitano the following week. Of course, talking a little bit about Phil Foden, the emergence of Phil Foden. And I wanted to just wrap up this game before we take a break, Jonathan Johnson and everybody there, check out your brackets, everybody, and see, is it changing for you all out there? Natalie Simeone's part past his sell-by date. Oh, that's a little unfair, I think. I know what you're saying. It was ugly from Simeone today, but he, let's not forget, defending champions in La Liga, and he's made it this far. Valentina says, for me, Grealish is not worth the money Man City paid for him. Hey, listen, I don't know if me and JJ agree. We'll take that 100 million. Thank you very much, Man City.
Yeah, I was going to say, perhaps not the two best judges of how well yeah. spent that money was by City.
It is the wrong place to say that, Valentina. We think we should have paid more for him. But yeah, yes, very good point. But I think he will come good, but it was a lot of money indeed. But here's the bracket, everybody. I'm wondering if you all out there have changed your mind a little bit. And we're wondering, JJ, if, because obviously both at our shows on HQ and Paramount Plus, of course, in the London studios, Kate Abdo and Jamie Carragher, everybody was having some fun picking their winners, etc. I'm still going with a Man City-Liverpool final. Yes, I'm being boring in that sense. I believe Kate Abdo was the only one out of everybody that had a non-Premier League. I think Bayern Munich was in the final. Do you see, JJ, Man City-Chelsea in the semi-final? Is that one that you see? How do you see their chances against Real Madrid? I get a little bit of an early preview for tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair shout. I expected Liverpool, City, Bayern, and Chelsea to advance from these semis. So that would be a Man City-Chelsea, from the quarters, that would be a Man City-Chelsea semi-final. And a Liverpool Bayern semi as well. I mean, I think there's enough question marks over Bayern and Chelsea to suggest that I think Liverpool Man City is the strongest shout at this moment in time. And obviously, if Real Madrid spring another surprise and end up going past Chelsea or Villarreal, pull off an even bigger shock and announce Bayern, you know, that'll really put the cat amongst the pigeons. But it really does seem set up this season more than most for the winner to be a Premier League side. I just don't think that it'll be Chelsea defending their title. For me, it's obviously we need to see a bit more from City in that second leg against Atletico Madrid. I agree with the points that we've discussed about, you know, how Simeone, you know, has not moved on tactically for a long time now. It's something we've discussed at depth, you know, over a number of podcasts. I still think that they'll make it tough or try to make it tough for City. I just can't see a way that City don't score in Madrid. So for me, the strongest matchup and the most logical at this moment in time is that Liverpool City final.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm still sticking with that. Though I've got to tell you, though, the more I see of Bayern Munich and the more I think about it, it's going to be tricky for Liverpool, but I think they will just about get the job done. Here was our poll, by the way. Will Man City and Chelsea meet in the semifinals, which is what I just asked JJ and asked everybody there. You know, it was pretty even, you know, so they were saying, yep, basically Man City, Chelsea, bye-bye Madrid teams, and 46% not this season. So we're getting some mixed comments there, of course, but everything points out to be that maybe the final of last season will turn out to be the semi-final of this one. Let's take a break, everybody. When we come back, we'll talk about Benfica against Liverpool. And yes, Darwin Nunez did do his thing, but was it enough? Because clearly a Colombian named Lucho Diaz also did his thing for his new team since January. Qué Golazo Champions League Tuesday recap with Jonathan Johnson, LME, CBS Sports. We'll be right back.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Welcome back, everybody. I wanted to let you know that a week unlike another is finally here. The Masters returns to Augusta National, where Hideki Matsuyama will defend his green jacket. Go join the First Cut Golf Podcast, where the entire crew is previewing this year's tournament. From storylines to picks and even daily fantasy advice, the First Cut has you covered. The First Cut Golf Podcast is available wherever you're listening to this pod. Welcome, everybody. Qué Golazo Champions League quarterfinals Tuesday recap. Jonathan Johnson, LME. We've already discussed Man City and their win against Atleti. Let's go to Benfica, Liverpool. Luis Diaz, never beaten against Benfica, by the way. 8 games, 6 wins, 2 draws. He scores 2 goals today. Trent Alexander-Arnold with a beautiful ball for Lucho Diaz, finding Sadio Mane. That was before a Konate goal. I'm sorry, not 2 goals. He only scored 1, but he took a hand in 2, and he obviously finished the last one. Keita with a beautiful run and assist for the Colombian to do it. Benfica, though, did get one from our man there, Jonathan Johnson, Darwin Nunez, who, hey, everybody, I just want to let you know, okay? You keep your finger, right? Hold on to the N on your phone, and you'll see the little line above the N. Darwin Nunez, okay? Just a little funny advice from your friendly neighborhood Peruvian, all right? But Benfica lose 1-3 to Liverpool. Liverpool take care of business. Thoughts on the game there, Jonathan Johnson? Is it over for Benfica, or because of that sole goal by the Uruguayan, do they have a shot at Anfield?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough not to feel that this one's been decided by that late goal. I did spend more time watching this one this evening for the live blog than I did City Atleti. And to be honest, it was a worthwhile watch. You know, some very good moments from both sides. Liverpool in control in the first half. Got sloppy early in the second. Benfica punished them. Nunez, you know, as clinical as you can expect, sort of offsetting the sort of lack of contribution towards thing like the build-up play, you know, with his predatory finishing skills. And I think 2-1 would have been maybe a fair result on Benfica, given how much they pushed just after they got that goal back. But also, I think it's probably the maximum result that would have kept this tie alive going to Anfield. Now that it's 3-1, I really can't see any way back for the Portuguese giants. You know, and Diaz, he's a player that Benfica have known about, you know, of all of the players in that Liverpool squad that they would have known how to prepare for, you know. So for him to go there, get a direct assist and a goal, you know, maybe they could have prepared a little bit better to try and neutralize him. But then again, you know, he's an absolutely top quality player. That's why Liverpool shelled out the big money to sign him in January. You don't often have big clubs making big moves like that, but obviously given the impact he's had so far, he's been worth it. You know, and you spend that kind of money to bring in players who are going to make this sort of contribution at this point in the season in these key matches. He's done that. You know, and I think as well, you know, that it was a funny evening. It was a really interesting midfield matchup on the Liverpool side. And I think as well, Konate had one of those kind of Jekyll and Hyde nights. Obviously, he was a hero because he got the opening goal. But it was an awful mistake for that Nunez goal as well. So plenty for Liverpool to consider going into the second leg, but also at the same time, I don't think they need to be too worried. Obviously, they can't get complacent, but I think this one's beyond Benfica. You know, we were talking about sort of the attacking limitations of Atleti and you know, how they'd love to have somebody as prolific as Nunez. But literally, when you're looking at that Benfica side playing, the only time you really feel that they're going to get a goal at this level against a team of Liverpool's quality is when Nunez is in and around the box as he was, you know, to swoop in after that Konate mistake.
Yeah, it's just not going to be enough, unfortunately, I feel. Maybe if it was 2-1, as you mentioned, perhaps, but a two-goal margin, a two-goal differential might just be too much. By the way, worth talking about, you know, our producer Desnor saying, you know, Everton Suarez lost against Liverpool, so there's Everton losing to Liverpool again. Des wanted us to say that joke. I'm sure Everton fans are loving that one. Liverpool fans, if you're watching, what did you make of it? By the way, JJ, and I'm going to ask everybody, what is your trio, right? Let's think about Sunday right now. A huge game against Man City. You obviously saw what they did against Benfica. Obviously, he's played around, but what is the trio now for Liverpool? Diogo Jota obviously didn't start. He's been doing really well as well. Luis Diaz is, you know, killing it as well. Sadio Mane, we know how he can do. Mohamed Salah, by the way, no shade to him. Like, amazing, obviously, you know, his contribution to this Liverpool side, one of the most important players for Liverpool. He hasn't scored a non-penalty goal, Jonathan Johnson, since mid-February. So, you know, it's been a while. Like, would you sit Mohamed Salah against Man City?
Well, it's interesting because the speculation ahead of this game was that Jurgen Klopp was going to sit him for this game. And, you know, if you're sort of judging which one is more important, you know, you could argue that City would be the more important game. So you could have benched Salah for this one. So now the fact that he hasn't and Salah didn't score, which I assume was the thinking behind that from Klopp, you know, that does, you know, sort of pose this question now whether, you know, Salah will be the man to make way, because after a performance like that, you're not going to be dropping Luis Diaz out. You know, Mane has showed his prowess in front of goal once again. So that's perhaps two of the three. You know, so it really depends on whether Klopp believes that he's going to get a big match performance out of Salah. Obviously, given Salah's record with Liverpool, you can't bet against him doing that. But also, you know, does Klopp feel, you know, like he wants to take that risk at this moment in time? Because like you said, no open play goal since, you know, earlier this year. You know, that's spanning a couple of months now. He's looking a bit tired at the moment. Obviously, he had, you know, Africa Cup of Nations, then the African World Cup qualifiers as well, double you know, heartbreak there.
Does the contract thing have something to do with it, John?
Oh, of course. The contract situation as well is something that's still dragging on. So there's a lot that's obviously going to be going on in Salah's mind at this moment in time. You know, and there is a lot of logic to you asking whether, you know, Klopp might bench him for this one. But then again, also at the same time, you know, when you need a moment of magic or somebody to find that goal, you know, Salah more often than not has been that guy. So, you know, Klopp, he's lucky to have a lot of fantastic attacking options at his disposal. But it would be a big call as well, you know, if he benches Salah now. I feel like there would be less of a reaction if he had done it tonight against Benfica than if he does it against City.
What do you think, everybody? Should Salah be benched? I know it sounds ridiculous, especially because the other game against Man City, he produced some sublime magic. And obviously, we know how amazing Mohamed Salah is. Nobody's denying that. Nobody's doubting that. Nobody's criticizing everything that he has given to Liverpool. Having said that, he right now, in accordance to what Klopp has at his disposal and what Jonathan has just been saying, you know, should he start against Man City? It's an honest question. Diogo Jota, Firmino can also produce and also be that sort of connector between the midfield and up front as well. Sadio Mane, Luis Diaz, who's absolutely killing it right now. Maybe what Salah needs, JJ, is like, you know, that fire once again. Well, Klopp says, look, I'm going to sit you. And then when he puts him on in the 70th minute or whatever, then Mohamed Salah shows why he belongs in the starting 11, why he's one of the best players in the world. Maybe that's the kind of like push and adrenaline and motivation that a player like Mohamed Salah needs right now, because so many things are going on also outside of the game.
Yeah, very possibly. But also, I think at the same time, you know, when you've got sort of that mental baggage that comes with speculation about your future, you know, sort of surrounding every game being, you know, delved into in absolutely minute detail, you know, I think the only thing that's really going to resolve this sort of cold snap that Salah is going through is A, the end of the season arriving, and B, you know, making a definitive decision on his future. And, you know, it seems to me like the smart move would be to extend with Liverpool, both for club and for player. You know, but obviously, you know, these things are always complicated to get done. So until that's actually, you know, official and everything, you know, I think that, you know, this kind of iffy patch for Salah will probably continue, unfortunately.
Where would you see Darwin Nunez go in the summer, by the way? If you were to take a guess, he's not staying at Benfica, that's clear. And Benfica are going to want some good money for him, that's clear too. Do you see him going, obviously, outside of the Portuguese league, maybe, I don't know why, but I just think La Liga, you know, he probably wants to go somewhere where he can just feel comfortable from a language perspective. Do you see a specific place for him? Because Darwin Nunez is a player. I mean, he's a freaking amazing talent.
Yeah, he is. I completely agree with you. And it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of Premier League clubs are in for him, looking at him this summer. You know, the obvious fit of the teams that we've talked about and the teams still in the Champions League at this moment in time are Atleti. You know, Luis Suarez is not the player that he once was. You know, why not swap Uruguayan for Uruguayan? I think that could be a smart move. You know, I think that the issues that Atleti have go much deeper than just, you know, a goal scoring presence. But I do think that it could be a good fit there. And I do think that, you know, he could do well, you know, with a number of Premier League sides as well. But like you said, in terms of sort of bedding in, he's already familiar with Spain, you know, having played there before with Almeria. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see him go back there, but go back to, you know, to one of the big boys.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I forgot about Almeria. That's Norris. Joe Felix cautionary tale. I think he's a different player too, but yes, a good point. Yes, I know. West Ham, by the way, wanted him in January. Benfica said, no way, you're not getting that at all. All right. Well, listen, that's the end of our show, everybody. Don't forget that we still have our preview that we taped already. That's part of Wednesday's action as well. So you can get all that goodness regarding tomorrow's games. Very quickly on those games, by the way, let's talk a little bit about Chelsea-Real Madrid once again. I don't know about this one, JJ. I'm so conflicted. Obviously, Chelsea are so good, organized, but that Brentford result made me think twice. I mean, I know that they're not going to do that again, but my goodness, what do you make of these two games, Chelsea against Real Madrid and Villarreal, which we do talk a lot about in the show, but not today. What do you make about both those Spanish sides against the managerial prowess of German managers?
Yeah, I definitely think that the Spanish sides are the underdogs going into this one. I mean, let's not forget that Chelsea, did have a similar result last season as well against West Brom, where the wheels kind of fell off. A West Brom side that got relegated, Chelsea still went on to win the Champions League. So, you know, this does happen from time to time. So I wouldn't be too worried about that. And I'm just going on what I've seen from Real so far this season in the Champions League. I don't think that they are elite material. I don't see them going much further. I mean, you know, could they outlast Chelsea and get past them over two legs? Possibly. It really depends on how they both play out. I just wouldn't put them down as hot favorites either. Obviously they still have a lot of quality in their squad, players, you know, who can decide matches at any given moment. But for me, I still think that Chelsea, despite everything that's been going on off the pitch, all of this uncertainty, defending champions, that they're still at this level of consistency, generally speaking, where I think that they're going to have too much for Real. So, you know, perhaps it's a draw on the night, but I expect Chelsea to go through overall over the two legs. Now, Villarreal against Bayern, had you asked me a couple of months ago, when Bayern were about to come up against Salzburg, I might have said that I fancied Villarreal to pull off perhaps a bit of a shock result, but Bayern seem to have turned the corner a little bit, playing with a lot more consistency, a lot more confidence now. And I think if they can maintain that same fluidity, I don't think they'll make light work of Villarreal. I think Unai Emery will definitely give Julian Nagelsmann a hard time. But I expect Bayern to be the ones progressing here, Bayern and Chelsea over the two legs.
Yeah, what predictions did you give? I gave Chelsea-Real Madrid, I gave it a draw, actually, in this first leg. And I gave a Bayern win only 2-1, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's a little bigger. What do you give?
That is a good question. I went...
Because I believe, Jonathan Johnson, every time I check these predictions on CBSSports.com, me and you are always kind of the same, but I feel like you gave it a Chelsea win.
Yeah, you're right. Now, I went for Bayern 2-1 Villarreal and Chelsea 1-0 Real.
There you go. There you go. So make sure you let us know what you think is going to happen tomorrow. You can also tweet us, John_LeGossip, LMHegaray, but Kegolazo Pod on Twitter as well. YouTube.com/Kegolazo. Please like and subscribe as we give you way more videos coming up as well. We've got some great stuff coming your way in the next few weeks, including, of course, the end of the Champions League, weekend preview, et cetera, et cetera. Jonathan Johnson, thank you so much, my friend. Final thoughts before we say goodbye. I know it's late for you, so I want to let you just get your kip. So final thoughts, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Time for me to hit the sack. No, just, obviously delighted to have the Champions League back, as we all are, especially when it gets to this stage of the tournament, the business end. And just looking forward to more quarterfinal action with you guys tomorrow. And let's not forget as well, big game in the Premier League at the wrong end of the table between Burnley and Everton, which will be going on just before those Chelsea, Real and Villarreal Bayern clashes.
Absolutely. The poor man's Europa League, I believe, is going to be on that. That should be a great game indeed. Jonathan Johnson, thank you so much, buddy. Appreciate you.
Pleasure,
thank you,
as always.
Everybody, thank you so much for being part of the family. Kegolazo Pod on Twitter, John_LeGossip, LMHegaray. Don't forget to follow us on YouTube, CBS Sports, and your CBS Sports app. We still have this preview, so you can go back to the podcast on your YouTube to check that out as well. And we'll have a recap for Wednesday's action, same time, 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern. We want you here. We want your engagement, your comments, et cetera, et cetera. We will see you next time. Have a great rest of your evening. Till then, bye-bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.